Now, there are three passages that really crystallize this. The first one is in Isaiah 41, and what it says is prophecy is unique to God. That's where I get the signature. Isaiah 41, 21. Present your case like we're in a court, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, says the King of Jacob. Wait a minute, the King of Jacob. Whoa. Did you know that underneath all biblical prophecy is God's sovereign election of Israel? Not because they're the greatest, not because they're the nicest, not because they're the best, but just because God picked them way back with Abraham. God made an unbreakable promise to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people, to the descendants, the literal, physical, genetic descendants of Abraham. He made him a promise. And he's always calling himself, you know, the King of Jacob, or, you know, the King of Israel. But keep reading verse 22, because he's talking. This is in Isaiah's time. God is talking to the nation of Israel. Let them bring forth their case and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things, what they were, that we can consider them and know the latter end of them. Or declare to us the things to come. Verse 23, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are God's. The Lord was challenging idol worshipers, and he says, hey, the only way you can know who the real God is, whether it's your little idol you made that needs to be propped up so it doesn't tip over, or me, the God of the universe, the Creator, is which one of us can tell you the future. You see, God has left us a map of the future. And what we're going to see in this class is that all prophecies start with Israel. We go into the church. We go into the church's return to the throne of God in heaven. We go into the tribulation where God returns with his work through Israel. Then the second coming of Christ is when Jesus comes to rescue in the tribulation Israel. Then Israel reigns for 1,000 years. And Jerusalem is the head of all the nations. And then heaven, by the way, is described as a place that's built on the foundation of these 12 Jewish apostles, and the gates are the 12 tribes of Israel. So God has made a sovereign election of Israel that cannot be broken. And that's the first part of his signature. The second part is, look in the next book. We're not in Jeremiah, but it ties so closely together. So go to Isaiah, and then go to the right in your Bibles to Jeremiah 1, verse 12. And the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Prophecy is not static. God has written down his action plan. It's not just his wish list. It's not a Christmas wish list. It's like a program, a computer program. It's being executed line by line by line by the Creator of the universe. Wow. God has written his signature across his word. Well, the last one is Revelation 1:3 in introducing this topic. And Revelation 1:3 says this, that God has given, let me get 1 John, 2 John, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. The whole book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. And Jesus Christ himself said, blessed are those who read, take the time to read, and those who hear, because back then not everybody had a copy of the Bible and they had to sit and listen to someone else read it. So if you invest the time to hear my word, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Wow. This is for those who are God's servants. Prophecy is for God's servants to know he's watching over and that he has signed the map of the future, his plan. Let's go through that. As you look at the slides, prophecy is God's signature across his word. It's class 11. You can see that we are looking specifically today at the map God has left for the future. And prophecy, as God's signature across his word, is declared that he's watching over it, remember we just read, and that he gave it specifically to us, his servants. God explains his purpose for biblical prophecy in Isaiah. And that's what makes Isaiah so unique. And now we're going to go on a journey of what is God's purpose for prophecy. First, it's Isaiah 41, 21, and 22. Now look up. Israel was going back and forth at this time, the time of Isaiah. You remember Isaiah is this book is Isaiah addressing Israel between 740 and 680 BC. And he's talking to them, and at that time, the nation was teetering between the true and living God and idolatry. And so all of this prophecy was to tell them, don't trust your man-made objects that you're trying to be like everybody around you. See, Israel was immersed in a culture where every other nation around them had idols. And so they felt so out of place because they didn't have any idols. And every other nation had their God that you could see. And they carried him around with them. They had little copies. You could go buy your own little God and you could kind of wear it or carry your little God with you or have one in your house. And the Jews says, we don't have that. And they said, we want to be like all the other people. And God said, no, because I'm not like all those other gods. I am the creator. I am the true and living God. So that's what was going on. So Isaiah said, look at the slide, prophecy is God's unique distinctive. We already read it. God says, ask your idol to tell you the future. He can't.